want to say to these people, and Lord, we'll go with you. Father, just give them hearts to receive what you are saying, and Lord, may this seed go into good ground and bring forth a mighty harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just thank God for last week's word that Ken shared about Mount Everest. Quite a few people will be able to identify with that, but it was a very powerful word and a timely word. And the thing that where Ken left it was a picture that God had shown him some time back about climbing the mountain. And then suddenly the steps disappeared, and it's like, God, there's no more steps. And God said to him, put your foot out, and when you pull it down the ground, the step will be there. There'll be something solid to stand on. And I looked at that and I thought, God, that's the launch pad for this week. God wants to take us on. He wants us to get climbing that mountain. He's taken us up to base camp, and we learnt how we need to establish base camp, because we'll need to keep coming back to it. We'll need to strengthen ourselves, because the battle is sometimes hard. Sometimes there's the pressure on, but we need to look to God all the time. And I was thinking about yesterday we went to a conference in Hull, and it was really, really good. It inspired us. God spoke to us, and he said he was, all the time, he was talking about things that are impossible in the natural. And we are not a people who can do this by ourselves. We don't have the resources to do what needs to be done. If we look at where we're at and where God's promised to take us, in ourselves, we cannot do it. Natural ability is not going to cut it. It will never achieve it. It's impossible. And if we continue to look that way, we will be defeated, and we will be discouraged, and we'll quit. And God said to us, we need to look at this from God's vantage point. This is a spiritual battle. We are a spiritual people. The Spirit of God is in each and every one of us, and he calls us. You know, David said, deep calls to deep. And God wants us, that the depths of him in the depths of us, to connect, and he will fulfill and do amazing things as we stand our ground spiritually for what God has promised. All of our resources are in heaven. All of our resources that we need to fulfill our destiny in intake, to take this land for God, to take intake and beyond. I know God's promised us great things, and indeed we will do that, but we will not do it as natural people. It will only be fulfilled as we look into the spirit realm, pull that spirit realm out from within us, seek God, listen to the Spirit. And it's the way of the Spirit. We need to follow the Spirit of God, and that will bring us into the land. It will bring us success. It always succeeds. And every time, if it was possible, we wouldn't need God. But we're in an impossible situation. God has brought us to this place, and it was his plan and his purpose. And he said to us, I'm more than enough for you. I can do what I've promised to do. I will do what I have promised to do. But don't do it. You're not going to achieve it within yourselves on a natural level. It's going to be by my Spirit. And I've been reading this passage, and I've not been able to move on from it really for a few weeks. And it's in 2 Kings chapter 6. If you want to be inspired, then read all about Elisha, because he was a very upfront man. He knew his God. And you know, we've been singing today, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart that I might see you. And that's what God wants us to do, to see him in all of this and not be looking at the natural. The background to this particular story in chapter 6 is the king of Aram, which is, in today's terms, Syria. And Syria kept making raids on the Israelites, and they were robbing and stealing and trying to destroy them. And Elisha took it on himself to seek the Lord about this. He was concerned for the nation. And I just want to say here, you know, it's not good. I know when we get to watch the telly at night at 6 o'clock sometimes while we're eating our evening meal, generally the news is on, and sometimes the temptation is, oh, I just can't watch all this stuff again. It's so negative. I'm sick of hearing it. I don't want to know. But you know, as the people of God, and as people that the Spirit of God indwells, we are responsible for what happens in this nation. And although in the natural sense we're not going to change it, in the spirit realm we will change it, and we will bring it to its destiny. And I would suggest that, you know, don't get into all the politics, don't listen to it all, just get the headlines, get the drift of what's happening, and then start to pray and take authority in the spiritual realms, because I sense that there is a great battle in the heavenly realms for this nation. You know, the enemy is trying to make it unstable. He's trying to bring governments down. He's trying to cause mayhem amongst our government. And that is not God. God is not a God of confusion or division. God has a plan. And let's take our responsibility and pray for this nation. Back to where we were. The Syrians were invading the Israelites. And Elisha was seeking God on this, and God kept saying to Elisha, the next place that they're going to attack is in a certain area. And so Elisha would contact the king of Israel, and he would say, don't send the army into this particular area because there's a trap for them. And Elisha kept doing this, and the king of Syria realized that something's afoot here. We've got a spy in the camp. Now, who is it? And so he got everybody together and he said, who's the spy? Because I'll kill him. I'll do away with them. And one of his men said to him, he said, it's nobody in our camp. He said, it's Elisha the prophet. He said, he hears everything that you say in your bedroom. Uh-oh. Everything the king of Syria was, so every time he opened his mouth, Elisha knew what he was saying. Oh, we need to be careful, don't we? Somebody might be listening and telling on us. Well, this was the situation here. And immediately, the natural response of the king of Aram of Syria was to say, right, we're going to go out, we're going to kill him, we're going to shut him up once and for all. And so he sent a great army in the night. It says in my Bible, so he sent chariots and horses to Dothan to capture Elisha. He came by night and he surrounded the city. You know, when you start picking a fight with the enemy, when you start getting into his territory, when you start exposing the enemy, then he gets uncomfortable and he starts to attack. And we shouldn't be afraid about attacks, because our God is greater, our God is stronger, our God is mightier than anything the devil can dream or try and do to us. He can never succeed against us. And Elisha knew that. But I thought it was interesting when the army came by night. He always, have you noticed when there's, he never has any new tricks, does he? When there's any something on your mind, I'll guarantee you'll wake up in the night and there it is, straight in front of you, and it's going through your mind. Anything that you're anxious about, or anything that's troubling you, or any challenge that's ahead of you, the devil's there, he's got it straight in front of your face, and it's usually at night. And he's never changed in all the time he's been trying to work against God and bring God's people down. It says in verse 15, when Elisha's servant rose early in the morning, he went out and an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. His servant said, "Alas, master, what shall we do? What shall we do? We're not going to do anything, are we?" How could Elisha do anything against that great, vast, natural army that was surrounding the city? He could do nothing. His hands were tied. He knew in the natural he had no answer. But what was his response? Elisha replied, "Do not be afraid, for there are more with us than there are with them." And the word of God says that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that riseth against us in judgment he will show to be in the wrong. God says, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." You know, we have every spiritual weapon within us, and God says, "I've given you the victory. Don't be afraid. Whatever the devil brings against you, never, never be afraid, because God is on your side, and don't doubt that. He's always there for you, and he will never leave you or forsake you." And Elisha knew that God was greater than anything that they were looking at in the natural. And then Elisha prayed a prayer, and he said, "Lord, please open the eyes of my servant so that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw the mountain was full of horses, and chariots of fire were all around Elijah. That vast heavenly army was waiting in the heavenly realms just for a command from Elisha. And it says in one of the Bibles I was looking at that there was a numberless host of angels up there. They could not be counted. There were that many angels and chariots and horses and fire. That's how big our God is. And you know, when I was thinking, when Jesus was on the cross, we used to sing a song, didn't we? He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set us free. But it wasn't his way. He didn't call the heavenly host. He went through that, and he endured it for your sake and for mine, because he saw the greater prize at the other side of it. And he was dead to himself. He saw this in the spirit realm. And so Elisha comforted his servant, and he said, "Don't you worry." And the servant's eyes were opened, and he saw what Elisha was seeing. He saw into the spirit realm, and immediately he was calm, and he came in, and he knew that, hey, we've won this one. No threat, no problem. And that is the way God wants us to be, seeing everything from the spirit realm. If we look at it down here, we're going to get totally the wrong picture, and the devil is going to make us afraid. Immediately, Elisha went out and he prayed to the Lord. The Syrians actually started to attack. They came running towards the city, and Elisha went out to meet them on his own, but not on his own. The heavenly hosts were with him. And Elisha spoke to the Lord, and he said, "Lord," he said, "blind their eyes, strike this people with blindness." I think that is beautiful. I looked up that word, and in the Hebrew it says, it actually means they were dazzled by a bright light. Now, have you ever looked up into, you know, when we have an eclipse, they're always saying to us, never ever look at the sun with your naked eye, because it will blind you. And they were issuing special glasses, weren't they? So you looked through these dark glasses to see the eclipse. And it's the same sort of thing. God said to they were looking at this brilliant light, and it totally dazzled them, and they were blind. They couldn't see a thing. All they could see was this brightness in front of them, and it brought them into confusion. It just disarmed them, and they were helpless, completely helpless, every one of them, as blind as bats. And so Elisha went up to them and he said to them, he said, "This is not the way and this is not the city. Follow me and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he led them into Samaria. They were just became like puppets and they just followed him so meekly and mildly. That God has a wonderful way of taking the sting out of the devil, doesn't he? He just totally diffuses the situation just by a very simple act, and that's what we see here. And so when they got into the city, Elisha prayed and he said, "Oh Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw that they were inside the city. When they opened their eyes, they were in captivity, totally captured. The battle over. It didn't matter how many horses and chariots they had, how many men they had. They were so simply and foolishly, seemingly, disarmed, and the whole situation was diffused, and the enemy was captured without a life being lost, and they were brought to the king. I was reminded when I was looking at this section that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of men and women. They can't see where they're heading and what's happening to them. And God said to him, he said, we need to get the scales off men's eyes. If you remember when Saul was threatening the church and was stoning the disciples and anybody who said that they were a disciple of Jesus Christ, Saul was after them and he was killing them and destroying the church, the early church. And God struck him on his road to Damascus. He struck him with blindness, and he spoke to Ananias, and Ananias went after 3 days. He went and he prayed for Saul, and God took the scales off Saul's eyes and he could see. And by that time he had begun to realize that he had heard God and he was wrong. He was, yes, very sincere, but sincerely wrong. And there are a lot of people out there worshipping false gods who are very sincere about what they're doing, but they need the scales to be taken off their eyes so that they might see the truth, and the truth shall set them free. We have the authority to do that. It's a spiritual battle. When Jesus was chiding his disciples for the lack of spiritual awareness, he said to them from Jeremiah, "You have eyes, but you do not see." You know, and that's the church today. You have eyes, but you do not see. The battle is not a natural battle. It's a spiritual battle. And it will be won by prayer and intercession, by taking our authority in the spirit realm. I love David. He knew where the battle lay. Psalm 27. Let's have just a quick look at Psalm 27. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, and that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will hide me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and I will make melody to the Lord." He wasn't intimidated by what was happening. outside. He wasn't intimidated, even though there was an army encamped against him. He knew his confidence was in God, and he knew if he just took up his harp and he worshipped God, that that would bring victory and deliverance. It doesn't take much. God says, what have you got in your hand? What did he say to that young man? He said, what have you got? He said, well, I've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they said, well, they brought it to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He felt that he fed a multitude with it. He fed 5,000 men, plus women and children. That's my God. He's a miracle-working God. He's the God of the spirit realm, not the natural realm. When we give him the small thing that we have, he will take it and he will do the miraculous with it. He will defeat the enemy. He will pull down the principalities and powers. He will destroy every obstacle, everything that is against us. He will pull it down and remove it, and we will walk through as he has promised. I was thinking about David. What did he go and fight Goliath with? Just a simple sling and 5 stones. That's all he had, a sling and 5 stones. But he said, even with this natural, this small natural thing that I have got, I will go and I will face this giant, because I'm not going on my own. I'm going with God. I see in the spirit realm. I see God is with me. God is for me. Who can be against me? I'm going to run to this battle and I'm going to knock that giant down in the name of Jesus. You will come down and I'll cut off your head. And what happened? He got him right where it mattered, straight there in his temple, and he was bang dead gone, and he cut off his head with Goliath's sword. David went through many challenges, but it was in every one of those challenges that he knew who his conqueror was. He knew who his mighty conqueror was. He knew he was invincible, not on his own, but he knew that with God, nothing could stand against him. And he said in Psalm 3 and verse 3, well, in from verse 1, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to me, there's no help for you in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You're my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy hill. Verse 5. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I'm not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Wow. You know, David, when Saul was pursuing him, he didn't care. He was laid asleep in the cave. And Saul was not far away. But David said, no, I'm going to lay down and sleep. I'm not afraid of my enemy prowling around and all those that are against me. If God hides me, he'll never find me, because God is watching over me. God is guarding me. And we need to know God has got our best interests at heart. He's there for you. He's way ahead. He knows exactly what you need, and it will be there when you need it. So don't be concerned. Just look in the spirit realm and see all the resources that you need are there. And they're in us because the Spirit of God is in us. And we need to dig deep and pull it out. Pull it out. Speak it into being in the name of Jesus. Let's go back to 2 Kings and chapter 6. Verse 21. When the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, Father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? And Elisha said to him, no. Did you capture them with sword and bow, those whom you wanted to kill? He said, you don't do anything of the sort. You didn't capture them. God captured them. And what does God say to us about our enemies? And there's a good principle here. He said, bless your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to them. Don't fight them. Don't fight fire with fire. Bless them and do them good. And that's what he did here. He said, set food and water before them, so that they may eat and so that they may eat and drink, and let them go to their master. So he prepared for them a great feast. After they ate and drank, he sent them on their way, and they went to their master, and the Syrians no longer came raiding into the land of Israel. You know, so simple there. Not a life lost, just blessed. Everybody blessed. From start to finish, it was a blessing. The enemy meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He turned it for good. He always turns our curses into blessings. And as I was reading this chapter, I think it was last year, I wrote at the top of my Bible here, the way of the Spirit is totally opposite to the natural. It's easy, it's gentle, it's peace-loving, it's powerful, and it's successful. And it, as God was, this morning, we were listening to the Bible being read, and Andrew had picked James to read. You know, God just speaks in such simple ways, doesn't he? And it came to James chapter 3. Just want to look at it. And I thought, God, you're just confirming what you want to say today. James chapter 3. Verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. I thought, oh God, that's the way of the Spirit, isn't it? The Spirit man. When we follow the Spirit of God, we will get everything that He has promised. We won't have to fight for it. It won't be stressful to us. It'll be peaceful. It'll be easy. Really easy. What have you got in your hand? Well, just give it to me, and I'll use that. So He's saying to us, what have you got? Give me your problem. Don't try and work it out for yourself. Don't try and do this. I've put you in this place. I've called you to climb the mountain. And as you take the next step, it will become firm underneath your feet. So don't be afraid. Open your spiritual eyes. Bind the spiritual realm. Take authority. I've given you all authority and all power. Jesus destroyed every principality and power, and He said, I give you all power and all authority. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Whatever resources you need, loose it in the heavenly realms. Call it in the heavenly realms, and God will bring it to pass. You have the authority. You speak the word, and God will respond to that word of faith. Hebrews 11, what's that all about? Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this morning, another scripture that came to me, and it is in towards the end, verse 33, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, and shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Hey, all this is available in the spirit realm. But if we remain a natural people, we are not going to see these things. God is calling us higher. He says, come on, let's get higher up that mountain. I've brought you here. I'm taking you up. Know your authority. Use your authority. Speak your authority. Expect me to move. I will move. I will move mountains. I will remove every obstacle. I will bring in all your resources, your finances, Don't be trying to work it out. I've got a plan. Nothing is impossible for me. Listen to the Spirit of God, and that plan will be opened up as you take every step. You'll see everything beginning to open up in front of you. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated by the devil. You know, I was thinking, on Wednesday, we went out and did some prayer walking. And it, in a sense, it was very, very encouraging, I assure you. But looking at it naturally, first of all, when we set out, there were just nine of us. And that wasn't, I think, might have been 10 with Helen. Helen stayed at base camp, and she covered us from base camp. The other nine of us went out. Four of us went over in that direction, and five of us went over in that direction. And we didn't say a word to one another as we walked. We were focusing in the spirit realm. We were listening to the Spirit of God speaking to us. And as we were walking, I found God was drawing my eyes to certain things that I needed to pray about. And we passed the old age people's bungalows, and God reminded me of what Nia and Dear had said about Esther and Sukras, who had had some harassment from men trying to knock at the door and pretend that they were service providers or gas people or electric people. They wanted to gain access to intimidate and to attack, rob, whatever they were wanting to do. They were not successful. But you know, nobody needs that type of harassment, and that's not from God. It's a spiritual thing, and God said to me, bind it, take authority over that spirit in the heavenly realms. The greater one is in you. Stop it up there. We don't need to be protesting and signing forms and going out physically. It's done in the spirit realm, because that's where we're powerful, and that's where God has given us all authority. And we need to take our authority in prayer and see this place brought into the kingdom of God. We need to pull down the kingdom of God into intake by taking our authority. And as we were walking around, you know, God reminded me of in past revivals, how God had done just a sovereign act, how he'd lit up the church and people were drawn to the church. Why? Because it seemed as if it was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. But the fire of God was in the place, and the people were drawn to it. We have the fire of God in us. You know, people need to be drawn to this place. We have the answers to every situation that they will face. They're needing answers. They're looking for answers. We have the answers. And God is saying, I've equipped you to do everything that you need to do. And the battle is mine. Just follow me. Do as I say. And I'll bring you into great victory. And I would say, it would be good again, while we've got summer evenings, to do more prayer walking. And I really, really would like everybody here to make the effort to come prayer walking with us. It's a powerful exercise. And God opens you, he opens your spiritual eyes. You can pray in here, but you'll never see what you see when you're walking out there. Somebody passes you, and suddenly you see something there, and you think, the Spirit of God just checks you and he says, pray for that person, pray for that house. And all the way round, we never said a word hardly to anyone in our group. Everyone was just praying and taking their authority. And we're going to see, that's how we're going to take this town, this area. We're going to do it step by step, together as one body. And I think, if you want to see intake run, if you want to see the spiritual atmosphere changed in this area and areas beyond here, then we have the answer. And it's time for us to rise up as one body and say, I will be here on Wednesday at 7:30, and I will join with the body of Christ, because together we are stronger. Together, we need one another. We need to encourage one another. It's not about, are you a Nepalese person or are you an English person? We're one body. We're heavenites. We've got the same goal. That the Nepalese people, praise God for them. They can win the Nepalese community. They can communicate with them where we cannot. We need one another, but we need to pray together. And I would emphasize more than anything, on Wednesday evenings while the nights are light, let's get out there, let's get prayer walking as a body, as a church, and let's take our authority, let's see in the spirit realm, and let's bind the principalities and powers that are seeking to rob these people and to blind their eyes. Let's see them with their eyes open, seeing Jesus and being drawn to this place. They don't know why, they don't understand it, but they know there's something here that they need. And they don't need to know, but the Spirit of God can so easily draw them. And that's one of the prophecies that was given. He would draw men and women into this place, not necessarily understanding why or what they were coming for, but just knowing that they know they need to be here. Just the Holy Spirit drawing them. So be encouraged. Let's do it together. Fight this spiritual battle. Amen.